First Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. And for our musicians who just panicked, we will sing it right before the Apostles' Creed. All right, got a thumbs up, so I'm very pleased about that. First Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. It's on page 992 in the Bibles found there in your seats if you need that. And we will be reading verses 8 through 13. Let us hear God's word. Deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, and let them be tested first, then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Brother, let me be your servant. Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I might have the grace to let you be my servant too. We are pilgrims on a journey. We are brothers on the road. We are here to help each other walk the mile and bear the load. I will weep when you are weeping. When you laugh, I'll laugh with you. I will share your joy and sorrow till we've seen this journey through.
If you want to, you can join for the fourth stanza.
When we sing to God in heaven, we shall find such harmony, born of all we've known together, of Christ's love and agony.
This simple, extremely melodic, time-bound song speaks very clearly to a beautiful struggle in the church, serving and being served. Today we will be ordaining and installing men who are called to serve us in this congregation as deacons. As servants, deacons in their office have a particular focus on physical needs. As Aaron so rightly spoke of, and he's had lots of practice, I think he said for the last 3 years, as we go through the shorter catechism in the evening, he's gotten the commandment on adultery to expound. And then he lands this morning on the commandment for adultery. And we have been given bodies as gifts. We have physicality. We are not just spirits. We confess that when we die, our spirits, our souls are immediately made perfect, ushered into the presence of the Lord, our bodies still united to Christ are laid in the ground in whatever fashion that is until the day of the resurrection, when even our bodies will be redeemed. It is important that we have these officers who minister to our physicality. But these men are a focal point of what we could call the diaconal vibe of the church. We read last week in Acts about Philip's daughters who prophesied but did not hold the office of prophet. In that way, all of us are called to be little d deacons. We are called to serve. In Galatians 5, we read, "For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." That's a call to the entire church, to serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Paul goes on there to give the contrast. "But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another." We're to serve, not devour. We read this also in Romans 12. "If service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, we are called to these manifold gifts in the church. The one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness." And so while this is the overall MO of the church, there are men who are called to particular offices to help be the support services for the gospel ministry. This begins in Acts 3, where the widows are upset, the Hellenistic widows are upset. They don't feel they're getting the fair shake at the handout from the church. And the apostles were not annoyed by that. They simply said, "We need some infrastructure here." And so they called on the people to raise up 7 men. "Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty." So the apostles made sure that there were the support services there, because we've learned over the years people have a much greater ability to listen to the ministry of the gospel when they are not starving to death. Just something about it. This is discovered year after year in schools across the country. Problem students that they find out are simply hungry because they do not have at home what they need. And the apostles recognize this, and so they raise up men. They have the congregation raise them up. The elders ordain them and install them to do this work. And then we see this integrating into the local church construct. This wasn't just in Jerusalem. In Philippians, read, "To all the saints in Christ who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons." That would be the elders and the deacons there. So while there is a diaconal vibe of the church, there is definitely an office of deacon that men are called to fill, to have hands laid upon them, to be ordained, to be installed, to help with the mercy ministries of the church. And so we see first off in this text today, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, as we see these qualifications for deacons, we find the honorable heart of deacons. The honorable heart of deacons. This is a dignified work, and it's the job of the people, of the congregation, to put honor where honor is due. And so the preempting thing here is that deacons are honorable men. We should not put you in the position to ascribe honor where it isn't due. This is the source of so much trouble across Christ's body around the world. People being in office who should not be. And they demand respect and demand authority and demand financial remuneration for an office that they really have no business filling. These men are honorable men. And note here how the qualifications are temptations particular to the matters in diaconal work. This is almost like a job description for these men. Now, they're to be dignified. That's kind of the pinnacle qualification. Honorable is another word for that. Not double-tongued. They're to be honest men. They're to speak to things honestly and forthrightly. And when people are in financial trouble, is many times where double speak starts to come in. Not telling the whole story, telling a false story. Not addicted to much wine. Substance abuse is something that these men will need to deal with in their ministry as people come for help to the diaconate. Not greedy for dishonest gain. Remember, this is why it's so important that their hearts be honorable. One of the most frugal men ever in Christ's ministry is the man who kissed him to betray him. He was a penny pincher. Wanted to make sure that no penny of the money given to Christ's ministry was spent for anything other than lining his pockets. So these men will face these struggles. That honor, it comes through as they are tested, as we read in verse 10. Then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Now that's not sinless, but that is, even when they sin, they handle it correctly. So the honorable heart of deacons is of utmost importance. It's who these men are that makes them qualified for this office. Secondly, we see the honorable homes of deacons. Their wives mimic their honorable heart. They're also dignified. They're also honorable. They are not slanderers. They are not speaking out of turn and telling stories out of school about what they heard about so-and-so. They are not quick to share prayer requests for someone who is struggling financially due to gambling. They're sober-minded, faithful in all things. Now, this is one of the great struggles in the church. When a man is called to ministry, whether that's avocational ministry in the diaconate or being an elder or vocational ministry, for the case of pastors, of teaching elders, what does that do for his wife? Is she also called to some office? No. But she is the primary support. She is the one whom that man will go home to after long meetings, after long counseling sessions. She is the one to whom he will retreat for care, for concern, for help, for love. How important it is for the wives of these men to also be these things. But again, the deacon himself must be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. There should be a home that reflects the gospel. It does not mean that the home is perfect. It does mean that the grace of Jesus Christ is present in that home. And on some level, each one in that home reflects it. The honorable homes of deacons. Thirdly, we find the heavenly hope of deacons. The heavenly hope of deacons. This brings us back to the heart, the external and internal fruit of a faithful deacon in his ministry. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. I noted this when we preached through 1 Timothy, that there are almost more stringent requirements for deacons than there are for elders. It's amazing how this is spoken of. But I believe it makes sense because deacons are not up in the ivory tower. They're down in the muddy, bloody trench with people. In all of their physicality, in all of the struggles that they are facing. And so the temptations many times can come on stronger to step away from the faith and what that means for the physicality of people and start to rely on worldly wisdom, start to rely on worldly means. Start to get it backwards that the financial well-being of someone is more important than their spiritual well-being. But no, an honorable deacon keeps the utmost important things in that primary place, in their heart, in their life, in their ministry. And verse 13 tells us, for those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. There's a greater honor for them as they serve well. This shows that deacon is not a stepping stone to elder. Neither is deacon junior elder. Although we as elders have no problem asking our deacons for wisdom on a case-by-case basis, when there's that physical component to it, asking them for help. There's a great honor in the office of deacon. I went to Moody Bible Institute. One of the institutions nearby was Wheaton College. And the president of Moody, when I was there, I was friends with him. He was a mentor of mine. And many times I'd be spending time with him, and he'd meet a student, and he would love to harass them, especially if they came from Wheaton, you know. And I said, "Oh, you couldn't get into Moody at first? I know. I'm skating on thin ice. If I bring up Ohio State, boy, it's really gonna. You couldn't get into Moody at first?" I think sometimes deacons can live in this shadow of, I guess I'm a deacon because I couldn't make elder. That is not the case at all. There's a great honor for this office, for these men who serve well in this work. There's greater assurance. It's not just this standing in the congregation. It's this greater hope of heaven. As one believes the promises of God, operates in those promises in a very tangible, real ministry. They are confirmed in all God's promises to them. They will see that administering a cup of cold water in Jesus' name really is ministering it to Christ himself. He has given them that atmosphere of ministry in which to serve. They're handing it to Jesus as they place it in the hands of the least of these. And holding the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, a deacon must understand the theology that underpins every bit of generous mercy that is doled out to the hurting and marginalized in Jesus' name and in the name of New Life Presbyterian Church. Sometimes it can be viewed that Oh, you make the deacons read what? You make deacons in training go through what? Why is that important? It's important because that's the theology that underpins our mercy. Why are we giving mercy? If we want to be an unmerciful church, we'll start decoupling our mercy ministry from the mercy we have received in Christ Jesus. If we start to lose that, when we start to become entitled, then we start to become those who pinch every penny to make sure it serves us rather than serve those who are in great need. In this great mystery of the faith, Paul goes on in Timothy, and it's summarized in verse 16. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He, meaning Christ, was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. The incarnation, life, death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and coronation of Jesus Christ is the very reason for our existence as a church and the very reason that these men are called to this office. As we read the Gospels, we discover very clearly the truth that Christ did not come to be served, but to serve. The Master himself served. We are not above our Master, but we become like him, washing feet, serving tables, helping hearts that are downcast by the cares of this world. That's even generally in the church. It's specifically for these men as they step into this diaconal role. We do this through love. We do it through honor and respect and submission to those who are called to this office among us. As they minister to us, as they minister to the needy in the community, they are ministering to Jesus. And we ought to pray for them and submit to them who are called to this office of service and care for our physical sakes. That we, in body and soul, might have the hope of heaven among us as they minister in Jesus' name. Stand with me as we pray. Father, give us diligence on this day and every day to lift up these men before your throne of grace. And indeed, the company of men whom they are joining to minister to us, to minister to the hurting in our community. Lord, help us as a congregation to mimic them as we all operate as little d deacons in love and care and service to one another, fulfilling your very commands to us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. And church, let us pray together.